listener production. When life gives you lemons, he'll turn them sassy, not sour.
What? Who wrote this script?
Strap yourself in. It's Complete Dribble with Christian Hull.
Oh, there's dust in here!
I don't know what it is about every time I get on a plane. There is the most unbearable turbulence. Like, I always get the worst flights. Going into Perth the other week, oh my God, we flew in during a once in a 20-year storm in Perth.
Oh my God.
Once in a, it was basically cyclonic. It was just like a cyclone would have formed, but it wasn't fast. Like, it was 90-kilometre winds. Like, it was so full on. And it was just the most terrified I think I'd ever been on a plane.
I'm so sorry.
Or so I thought. So, went through that. A couple of days ago, I flew back from Sydney. And the most annoying part is I get weather alerts and warnings. Which I love for Brisbane. You get fire alerts, you get, you know, storm warnings, hail and everything. But when you're flying, severe wind warning comes up. Oh, God, it's the worst. And this was like, this was for, you know, 110-kilometre winds. But it was winds at a high altitude, which was so weird. It was like, it was okay on the, it was windy on the ground, but they were saying it's really windy up high, which causes, you know, certain things. And I was like, fuck, I'm getting on a plane and I'm flying to Brisbane. So I'm literally, I don't have a panic attack, but I'm just, you're just really anxious. You're really, really anxious.
And so, fair enough, turbulence is so scary.
So I'm going to play you some audio. I filmed a sign. So I was in the Virgin Lounge because I'm a gold member.
Humble brag.
With my cheese. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear audio of the wind. It's of a sign that's like bolted to the wall, flailing. Just listen to how horrific it is. So that was your flight is ready to board. And I was like, are we actually going to take off in this? Are you sure? I don't mind if we cancel and delay. Like, I really don't mind. And I film all this. I put it on my story. So I'm the last one on the plane. I like to get on last. Pick an aisle seat, get on last, and then you can get off first because I'm not a good flyer.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about turbulence that I know is the gorgeous Anna Paul, who is a very famous TikToker, also very famous on OnlyFans, she posted a video of a conversation that she had once at an airport with a pilot. And the pilot said, here's what turbulence looks like. Here's a visual representation of turbulence and why it will never bring a plane down. She gets a cup of jelly. She pushes a rolled up piece of napkin into the jelly and says the jelly is the air pressure holding the plane up. And then she shakes the jelly and there's no way, she's like, there's no way that napkin is going to fall because the air pressure is holding it up, which is true.
Okay.
Turbulence won't cause a plane to crash. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but turbulence might cause an engine to fall off and then we crash. So, like, okay.
I get, like, it feels like the plane is crashing. I think that's the issue.
It just feels like we will drop out of the sky and hit the ground.
Yeah.
And so I've learned so many things about turbulence and about dealing with it. But I was genuinely really scared.
I'm so sorry. It's really scary.
Yeah, this was bad.
But the jelly thing is really comforting.
It really has taken a lot of the stress away. And knowing about the clouds and the storm cells, like, for me, turbulence isn't, like, oh, where did that come from? Like, I'm like, oh, that's because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And also because of this.
Yeah.
Like, you never get right up high. It's never turbulent really high.
No, it's not. You just have to get the
you've
ascend
just got to get
descend.
Up there. Yeah, it's, and then the, it's fine. The taking off and the landing that are pretty bad.
Well, I think the jelly thing's really comforting, but the pilot bachelor Jimmy, he's very attractive.
Yeah.
I was actually reading something this morning. He came out with some tips and tricks to deal with turbulence because he put up a TikTok.
He put up that TikTok of that flight. That where the luggage falls out of the overhead bins and the masks accidentally fall down because it's been shaken so much.
Yeah, that's
like
no, that's not it.
No,
I mean, look, it was a lot of generic tips like just make sure that, you know, turbulence isn't going to bring a plane down. And make sure you open your window so you can look outside.
Mm.
Use the air vents to put air on you.
Yep, I do all
generic
those
tips. But there was one thing that he did say, which I thought was interesting and kind of similar to the jelly thing, but you get a water bottle and you tip it upside down and you just hold it in front of you.
Oh.
And the water is never like shaking like crazy.
It always stays level with the horizon.
It always just stays a bit level. So you know that like that's... It's okay. That's, and I thought that was quite comfortable.
I like the water idea of it.
Mm. I mean, you can't always get your hands on a cup of jelly. So
no. But then the other thing was, so we boarded the plane and I had all these tips. Like, I know all these things. So I'm not freaked out.
Mm.
But then I managed to record the tail end of this announcement from the pilot.
Oh, my God.
Tune to our trimester weather. We can safely let them up out of their seats to do the service. So I do hope you understand, but as I said, your safety and theirs is of paramount importance.
So what he was saying was the crew will be seat-belted in their seats for the entire duration of the flight. The crew, who never sit down.
And
who never sit down and wear seatbelts.
Yeah, I also feel like whenever there's the tiniest bit of turbulence or like whenever there's an announcement or anything,
look straight
to the crew.
They and know that, though.
If they
know
look panicked in any way.
I did that once on a flight and I turned around and it was bad. This was going to like New York. I turn around because people were screaming. Like, I'm always on fucking turbulent flights. And the poor flight service attendant was sitting there. And she was like, I don't know what to do. Like, she looked scared. And that's when I was like, oh, no. But then, so this announcement happens and I'm like, well, because that, so that flight where I turn around and look at the lady, that was also a bad one because you'll see them like doing tees and then you just hear, dun, and the seatbelt sign comes on. But then you hear, can the crew please take their seats? And you go, fuck, we are about to have the ride of our lives. And they're like, not running, but quickly. And people like quickly drinking their hot beverages because they know shit's about to happen. That's when that happened. And so this was like, we hadn't even taken off. And he's like, oh, the crew will be sitting down for the duration of the flight. And so I sat down and then Shannon, shout outs to our flight attendant Shannon. She was the captain, the flight captain. She came up and she handed me a bottle of water and Tim Tam. She's like, I've seen your stories. Everything will be okay. It's actually not going to be that bad. And I was like, thank you for lying to me, you know. And I had my comfort Tim Tam.
Yeah, you have a comfort.
And we
Tim
took
Tam.
Off, and it was bumpy. It wasn't too horrific. Mm. And so I ate my comfort Tim Tam, and I had my water, and I was just like playing like Wordle, trying to get my mind off of it.
Yeah.
The flight was totally still.
Oh,
it was nothing.
Okay, well that's great.
It was nothing. You don't get used to it.
No, you don't, because it feels horrific every single time. Can I please share with you the worst experience I've ever had?
Oh,
I
yes,
never
please.
Have turbulence ever.
Really?
Yeah. So I feel sorry for you that you've experienced it so
all
many
the time.
Times. But the one time that I did really badly have it was on my way from Brisbane to Townsville in peak summer. Now there's something about the heat and the humidity when it's hotter, you get worse turbulence.
Well, it'll just be like a hot cell.
Yeah, it's just like a hot...
meets a cold front. And that's really, the air's all over the place.
Yeah, now I don't experience turbulence ever. But so for me, this was horrific.
Yeah.
But for everyone else, it was fine. Just before we hit what I would consider to be horrific turbulence, there's a message from the captain. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Just like to please make everyone aware that we have some special guests on the flight today.
Wow.
The Australian Choir is here to give a special impromptu performance. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can please stand up.
Oh, my God. And
they got the choir to sing, stand up and sing. And get this, I was in the middle of the choir. I was on one of the only available seats.
Oh, God.
So everyone stood up around me. It was like a flash mob on a plane. And meanwhile, it's like going up and down.
Oh,
and they just kept singing.
They just—it's like going down. It's like your Titanic moment. Yep. They were just singing as the plane was going down.
And it had no jack and no door.
What were they singing? Do you remember?
Oh no, I blocked it out of my memory. There's no way that I could remember that.
I once flew into Sydney during it's very famous again. Only if you live in Sydney, the red dust storm. So there was a dust storm where the entire city went red.
I remember this,
and I remember flying in, and it was calm, such a calm flight. And you look out the window, and Sydney is just. So it's a cloud of red, but it's low. And you're like, oh, don't think it'll be bad.
Oh, God.
But as we entered into it, the plane was dropping violently. And because you're like, oh, we're really close to the ground, it would drop. And it would like, and so we landed like, when you drop a marble, dun, 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 and that's how we landed. I would like to say, though, I've never had, and I, please, I never want to have an aborted landing. My mum went through, mum and dad, when they went over, no, I think it was just mum in Macedonia, mum went through 3 aborted landings on the same flight. They come in, they go around, nope, come in, go around, nope, come in, go around. She's like, please, nope. And she's like, oh my God, I just want to go back home. Like, I can't handle this because it's rough too. It's really rough. The aborted, they come in on the side. So the plane lands on the side because of the wind.
Oh, I have anxiety.
And at the very last minute, flicks the nose forward so it can land properly. And it just was too much. And it did the 4th run. And she was like, if we don't land, I'm going to have to say something. And everyone else was like in tears at that point. And they managed to get down, but like really badly. And she was like, I've never been so appreciative of my life. Ever. And I just thought, I don't even want to go through 1 aborted landing.
Imagine 3. Getting so close to the ground and being like, psych!
But yeah, like, whoop-de-whoop-de, like shaking violently. And then,
another loop of
psych!
That. The captain comes on, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, psych.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Basically, we hate flying. Flying sucks.
I have 2 questions for you. TikTok is just a cesspool of... Are you a disgusting human being? Do you have good morals?
I already knew the answers for those, but sure.
Yes, to both. I want to know.
Yes.
If you go to a supermarket and you buy a packet of chips or a bottle of water or a drink or something, and you open it and eat them and start drinking it, is that okay to do? The confrontational element in me says no because I don't want to get into trouble because I hate confrontation.
Yeah.
But of course it is. I've bought a bottle of water and was so thirsty that I, you know, drunk pretty much all of it before I got to the register. And I definitely went, do you reckon I can get away with it? I still paid $5 for a bottle of water.
I know for a fact that I have been violently hungover and cracked open a bottle of DC, bottle of Diet Coke,
right,
before getting to the counter.
Okay. 3rd question, because this has piqued my interest. A bottle.
There were no cans available.
Oh, okay. Yes.
There were no cans available.
When you Coke.
It's so much more crisp out of a can.
It's so much more crisp.
So much more crisp.
But I was having this debate with a friend of mine because I said, I'll get you a Diet Coke.
Mm.
And she was like, I only want it in a can. I looked at her like, obviously.
There's no other way.
And then we realized, you know, cans have a thin layer of like BPA plastic in them.
Okay. Yep.
And I was like, oh. So is it the can that's making it crisper? Like it's still touching plastic.
I just feel like, no, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? I think I've just figured it out.
Yes.
So a can, so I feel like the liquid, let me go. Mm. I feel like the liquid in the bottle becomes warmer faster because you're holding it. But the can, the liquid in the can stays colder. And the reason it's so crisp is because of its temperature.
Maybe because the glass bottle. I can also have Coke out of a glass bottle.
Yes.
I'm going to Google this.
Because I'm thinking about it. And in the plastic, it's always warmer.
Mm-hmm. I have the answer as to why Coke tastes better in a can.
Okay.
It's because plastic is more likely to let out carbonation than metal or glass. So your tongue is the first thing that comes into contact or near the container. And it's more likely to taste the aluminium, which to us is sweeter than plastic. And that's absolutely right.
Oh.
I always find it just tastes better.
Yeah, it tastes crisp.
And it's because, right, the metal reacts with your tongue and changes the flavour slightly.
Okay, I knew there was a difference, but I'm glad that my feelings have been validated. That's nice.
Yeah.
Although nothing does beat a McDonald's
Post-Mix. Oh, why?
I don't know.
Why is Post-Mix?
I think it's because they mix it with more sugar or something. Surely.
Oh, God.
It's so good.
Why doesn't
good.
Coca-Cola use McDonald's Post-Mix as its drink?
Please. God, I'd have no teeth.
I don't even know what I was saying. You'd have no teeth. Did you ever do that science experiment when you were in school where you put the tooth?
The coins?
Oh, we put a human tooth in
a glass
of
Coke. How the hell
did
you get a human tooth?
Oh, I don't know. I actually never thought about that.
It's from your mum who collects them as a kid.
Well, mum did collect them.
Mm.
But our science teacher had a tooth and she put the tooth in. Like 4 days later, gone.
Oh, God.
Yuck. But not gone. Like, it was the gut. No.
But you had another question.
Okay,
another
so TikTok the chips question. And the, so it's fine to consume things yes. within a supermarket as yes. long as you're paying for them.
Yeah.
What about having a grape?
Oh, I do this. Don't put cold fruit in front of me.
Oh, my God.
That's ripe for the picking and tell me not to eat it.
Grapes are so
also,
good.
It's kind of like a try before you buy. I need to know those grapes aren't squishy.
Well, then you squish them. And if they're squishy, they will squish.
Yeah, but you're not going to squish and then put it back, so you may as well eat it.
Okay, fair point. The other question that TikTok has asked.
Yeah.
Do you brush your teeth before breakfast or after breakfast?
Oh, this is a good question.
Mm.
You go first. I want to know your answer
well,
first.
Well, so I do mine before. So I have a shower. I brush my teeth in the shower, mm-hmm. which is, I'm going to Google this also. Apparently the most disgusting thing you could possibly do because the shower is the dirtiest place ever.
Well, apparently you're not meant to brush your teeth or wash your face with your cleanser. You're meant to do all of that outside of the shower.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently. I do that anyway. But.
When do you brush your teeth?
I do it when I first wake up.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I don't brush my teeth again until I go to bed. When I first wake up. So then I come home from gym, I shower, eat my breakfast, get ready for the day, go to work.
I only brush them if I'm having a shower. So sometimes I brush them twice a day if I have two showers. But no, it's only, sometimes I don't shower, so I don't brush my teeth.
Where do you keep your toothbrush? Just on the shower caddy?
Yeah, it's on a ledge. I know. It says, brushing your teeth in the shower exposes your teeth to more bacteria than brushing at the sink. Oh. Because your bath is really dry, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's so boring. It's just there's more germs there.
There's germs everywhere.
But like, I do find it weird because I'm like, oh, brush my teeth. Oh, now I'm going and eating and drinking coffee and should I do this?
But then it's gross. I wouldn't want to consume food or a beverage before I'd brush my teeth first for the day because my mouth would feel disgusting. I feel like it's kind of like a reset.
I definitely have gone to a cafe. I mean, like you can taste the bad breath, right?
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, yuck, I feel gross. But I'm like, oh, it's all right, a coffee. I'll have a coffee and a, I don't know, barbecue sauce and then it will reset the flavor. But then I'm like, coffee is also disgusting. Like I need to brush my teeth after that. A coffee breath is awful.
No, actually, I have a question for you. There are two types of fruit that make my breath smell bad.
Oh, can I guess them?
Yeah.
Banana?
No.
Oh, cucumber? You eat a lot of cucumber?
No. Nope.
It's just water.
Watermelon.
Really?
I think it's the sugar content in the watermelon.
Oh, sugar.
That makes my breath smell really bad afterwards. Oh. It's really weird.
What's the other fruit?
Pineapple.
Oh, what's the pineapple?
Must be the acidity or the sugar. I don't know.
Do you know if you eat too much pineapple, the acidity erodes your mouth, erodes your gums?
I can 100% believe that because your mouth burns.
Well, I also have, I once just lived, I was at a fete and they just had the freshest, most delicious pineapple in these punnets that I've ever had. And I just
smashed it.
Oh, I ate like 6 or 7 punnets. And then by the end of the thing, like my mouth was stinging. It was like it's one giant ulcer. I was like, oh, it's so painful, but this pineapple is so delicious. It was so good. And then I realized, oh, it was the pineapple that caused my mouth to. Like, it literally breaks down the flesh.
Third-degree burns.
Yes, it breaks the flesh down.
Mm, I know. Even after having, like, a few pieces, my tongue feels like it's been burnt.
Yeah.
Pineapple's not safe.
No.
Or just don't eat 6 pineapples.
No. Anyway, it's cool.
Really, really interesting questions.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank I brought you. Those to the table.
Good job.
No one else did. Nope. I did the research myself.
Yep, definitely not
no
me.
One, no one else produced that segment and then gave it to me on a sheet.
Nope.
Did it myself. On the run sheet for today, we have a run sheet that we go through, we discuss before we record an episode. There's a point and it says here, is porn addiction real? How to tell if you have it and what to do about it? And then you've included an article.
Correct, yes.
Firstly, why did this come up?
Because it's sex related.
Okay. Oh, do you Google sex and news and then just see what comes up?
No, I Google sexy news.
Well, let's read because you were genuinely curious about my porn watching habits.
Yes.
And there's a bit of information I assume in this article.
Now, there's two ways my mind went because I want to know how many minutes in a week you would watch porn. Mm. But in my mind, you're a very sexual person, so my mind immediately went to it would be a lot. Mm. But because you actually work in the adult industry, I feel like you're in it so much, you don't really have time to watch porn.
Oh. Oh,
so
okay. No. So it's weird when you say I'm in the adult industry. I mean, I do OnlyFans stuff. So I film and make a lot of porn. Mm. I don't watch much. It doesn't take like, I'm someone that can like watch 3 minutes of porn and I'm done and then I start the day.
Yeah.
So I don't, although it can be hard finding the right pornography to watch.
I think that also needs to include scrolling.
Yeah, there's a lot of scrolling to find. I'm like, oh, that one's not as interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let me read this. It says, Pornhub considered the most popular site for free porn, averaged 2.5 billion. Oh my God. 2.5 billion visits per month in 2022. In fact, it gets more visits than Netflix and TikTok. To put this into perspective, Starbucks goes through 4 billion cups annually. So porn is more popular than everyone's favorite coffee. That's interesting. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Mm. It actually doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Do you watch porn?
Rarely.
Yeah, right.
Rarely.
At the end of each year, Pornhub does a year in review, and the most recent top trending search term is hentai, which is pornographic for anime, which is cartoon.
Yeah.
That's weird. With lesbian and MILF not too far behind. Oh, I already know. I only search for one term and then just go, it's all suggested content based off of that. It's all amateur stuff. Like, I don't like produced.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
The most recent Google Analytics data show that the audience for Pornhub is 35% female, which is about 65% male.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty,
Yeah. Watching porn has become the norm for many who use it to spice things up in the bedroom or while away on lonely nights. But new research suggests that not all porn viewers are the same and instead can be split into three groups. Oh, this is interesting. What's concerning, though, is that only one of those groups is considered healthy. Ooh, is this where we determine what group I'm in?
Yes.
A study published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine revealed there are recreational, compulsive, and distressed porn viewers.
Distressed porn viewers sounds so aggressive.
Recreational viewers account for 75% of all participants in the study who watch an average of 24 minutes of porn a week. Oh, yeah.
Recreational viewers. Oh,
24 minutes of porn a week. I mean, this morning I was about half an hour. This group consisted of mainly women and people in relationships. Okay, good. Well, I don't fall into that category.
Yes.
It was closely followed by the distressed group who watched porn for the least amount of time. Oh, 17 minutes per week. As the name suggests, the distressed group associate their emotional distress with watching X-rated material.
Mm.
What does that mean? Associate their emotional distress.
So they don't necessarily enjoy.
They don't have a good view of sex? Or,
yeah.
Mm. Then there are the compulsive group. Oh, this is where I am. This group may have made up just 11%, oh God, of the participants, but watched this is a staggering number. This is probably an average number for me. A staggering 110 minutes of porn per week. That's like 2 days of porn. Like, what? 110 minutes. What's an hour? What's an hour is 60. Oh, fuck, an hour is 60 minutes.
So it's two hours.
It's 2 hours.
2 hours of porn a week.
A week. Oh, yeah, I'd be watching more than that. Researchers discovered that men are more likely to fall into this category. The experts from Quebec who conducted the study said only those who were recreational viewers were healthy porn watchers. 24 minutes a week. It's 24, that's like 2-3 minutes a day.
I suppose that's one video a day.
Some videos are like 7-6 minutes.
I don't know.
To conduct the study, the researchers asked 800 people to report how often they watch porn, then measured it against how compulsive their porn habits were and their level of distress while viewing porn.
Hmm.
And then it says here, how to know if you're addicted to porn, picture, which is, there's a photo. When porn becomes a problem, there's a photo. Sex life is less satisfying. Oh, no. My sex life's pretty good.
Yep. Wait, hang on.
No, wait, isn't that a ding? Sex life less, oh, no, it's not less satisfying. It's more, yeah, okay, yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So don't question that. Ignoring responsibilities. well, Not really, because I needed to have a shower before I went to the chiropractor, and I knew I had to stop watching porn at a certain time so I could have a shower and make enough time. So I wasn't ignoring the responsibilities.
So you're a regimented porn viewer.
Well, scheduled. It's scheduled. So yeah. Spending lots of money on porn.
Your OnlyFans budget.
Oh, my God. I used to.
Do you pay? Do you have a porn subscription?
No, it's only I subscribe to people on OnlyFans, but I've kept it real low key. I've reduced the spendings.
Okay. Can you give us a number?
It's probably about 100 a month. No, I wouldn't say even that. That's 10 people. I've subscribed to about maybe 5 people.
Okay. What
oh,
is...
Oh, no. It'd be 100 a month.
Oh, I'm going to try and Google Pornhub subscription. How much is Pornhub? I don't want to do it
it's
on
free.
A computer. Pornhub? No, surely you can...
It's like YouTube for porn.
Yeah, but surely you can... Wow, this really goes to show what I know
oh
about
Oh, my God.
Porn.
You're like, oh, Pornhub's free. Yeah, it's free. And you make money off the advertising revenue. I think there might be some behind a paywall.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, I'm trying to word this.
Once every 2 weeks.
You masturbate?
No. But I don't necessarily need material.
You don't need material? That was what I was trying to say.
Mm.
What, you use your imagination? Or you have...
I draw inspiration
you don't
from
need
real life.
Sex as much as I do. My sex drive is...
Through the roof.
Yeah, I used to think when I was younger I had a sex addiction. I was just horny all the time.
Oh.
But then I realised, no, it's just a part of being gay.
Yeah, also gay man. Like
gay
your hormones.
No, it's not. I don't think it's hormones. I just think we know how easy it is to have sex.
Mm.
And so we're horny all the time, as are most men. Mm. I read something the other day that like how many times gay men will have sex in a year.
Oh, my God.
With like how many partners. It can be quite high. And then straight men. And I was like, oh, how do straight men do that? Like, wow.
I was actually talking to one of the boys in the office about your hotel experience. And he was like, he looked me dead in the eye and he said, God damn, gay men know how to do
oh,
it.
Oh, God, yes.
Gay men know right how to do
the
it.
The hotel experience is when I put a blindfold on and a hotel employee came into my room and did things with me. Yeah. And, well, my brother will often, he was in and out of a few relationships a few years ago, and he was just like, I just wish I was gay. I was just like, it's just so much easier. It's just, I just want to have sex and then.
That's it.
Because I also.
And it can be just sex.
I'm very open with him about, he's like, oh, what's your sex life like? And I'm like, well, you really want to know? He's like, yeah. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
And he's like, God damn it. Why is it so easy for you?
Meanwhile, you have to message a girl for a month, go on 3 dates, and then maybe you have sex with her.
But I think it's just the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
Men have a high sex drive.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a last point on here, and it says, constant craving for more. Yeah, I would say yes.
Okay, well then let's end on it. Yeah,
but that hasn't really, I don't think I'm addicted to porn.
Well, according to this article, you're in a compulsive group.
Oh yeah, I'm in the, I'm not even in the compulsive group. I am excelling in the compulsive group. Like I am.
You're in your own group.
I am the AAA like plus student in the compulsive porn watching group. But has porn, the thing is like, I think for a lot of people, porn, I'm told, creates this unrealistic, for young people, unrealistic expectation of sex.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, did it for me? I don't remember. Like, I just didn't know what to expect.
Mm.
Like, my first sexual encounter, so odd, but like, when it's really good.
No.
I had a really good first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Love
he
that
slipped
for you.
It in without saying, I mean, he slipped it in without saying anything, and it was enormous. And I'm like, I even look back and go, well done. Like, I didn't complain. I don't remember it hurting.
Mm.
Hey, it's like this big Italian guy.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah.
Less.
Oh, penthouse apartment.
Oh.
And I remember while I was on my knees, while he was on the couch, he was giving me instructions. Because I thought, like, he was like, teeth. I was like, oh, yeah, got to watch my teeth.
Oh.
And then he would say teeth again. And I was like, well, it's not my teeth. But then I realized it's like stubble.
Oh.
And I was like folding my lips over my teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, can't do that.
Oh.
That hurts. Oh, if you're a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just learned a lot in that. And then he was like, let's go to the bed. And he was like, whoop. I was like, oh, wow.
Did he know that it was your first time?
No.
Huh.
I mean, just good he at- probably gathered because I was pretty bad.
Well, we've learned two very valuable lessons in this break.
And have we learnt a lesson?
One is Christian has a porn addiction. And number two is you don't have to pay for Pornhub.
Yeah, it's free. So go forth, my pretties.
Next week on Complete Drivel.
Florida man arrested for trying to cross the Atlantic in a giant hamster wheel.
Stop.
But wait, I've got another one. Two Florida men scammed Uber Eats out of $1 million with an elaborate scheme.
Oh.
Hi, Christian Hull here. Thanks for listening. Make sure you share this podcast with your friends.
If you've got any.